WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A search warrant shows pills were found scattered around the body of actor Gene Hackman's wife. Both were found dead in separate rooms of their home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. CBS's Vladimir Dutier.
Santa Fe County Sheriff's deputies discovered the bodies of Gene Hackman and his wife Betsy Arakawa, along with their dog, on Wednesday afternoon, and say the investigation is active and ongoing.
President Trump spoke about a possible agreement to end the Russia-Ukraine war before meeting with Britain's prime minister.
I think we're very well advanced on a deal, but we have not made a deal yet, so I don't like to talk about peacekeeping until we have a deal.
The Vatican says Pope Francis is slowly improving after 2 weeks of hospitalization. Correspondent Seth Doan from Rome.
Francis did respiratory physiotherapy this morning. He rested, and the Vatican says in the afternoon went to the small chapel in the private papal suite where he's being treated.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Natural Resources Board will be hosting public hearings on standards for PFAS contamination in groundwater over the coming weeks. At their meeting on Wednesday, the board unanimously voted to hold the hearings on proposed standards that mirror Environmental Protection Agency recommendations. The standards would be set at 4 parts per trillion for the two most common PFAS compounds and 10 parts per trillion for less common compounds. The current Wisconsin drinking water standards are 70 parts per trillion. Republican state lawmakers have reintroduced legislation that would ban gender-affirming care for Wisconsin minors. The bill would prohibit healthcare providers from providing or referring patients for things like puberty suppressants and hormone treatment. Critics of the bill say medical decisions should be made by families and their healthcare providers, not politicians. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has vowed to veto similar proposals in the past, but his ability to halt efforts to enact similar legislation on a federal level is limited. The Chippewa County Sheriff's Office is warning residents about an increase in grandparent scams in the area. According to a social media post, the Sheriff's Office received a number of phone calls about the potential scams over the last couple of weeks. They say the scammers use artificial intelligence to mimic an older resident's grandchild, saying they're in jail and need bail money. Law enforcement authorities are reminding residents to be wary of such calls and to hang up and call their family members or the jail directly. The Chippewa Falls Police Department has announced the arrest of a suspect in connection to a series of vehicle thefts and damaged mailboxes. According to a press release, law enforcement authorities say 3 vehicles had been stolen from various locations from the city, in addition to the damaged mailboxes reported on the east side. One adult man was taken into custody, and authorities are trying to identify any additional suspects. Any resident with information or video footage of the damage and thefts should contact the department. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Will the Packers make a trade? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are open to trading away defensive back Jair Alexander after 7 years with the team. Meanwhile, 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel is asked to be traded. GM John Lynch.
Yeah, we're on good terms with Deebo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start, and, you know, I think we're going to honor that.
NBA, Bucks basketball tonight as they host the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks on Saturday. Baseball, Brewers manager Pat Murphy on convincing young players in Milwaukee can compete with teams with big contract players in the major leagues.
A lot of it is attitude, you know, your attitude about base running, your commitment to base running outside of stealing bases. The threat to steal is sometimes as effective as the stolen base. So we have to put pressure on other teams that way, put pressure on pitching staffs that way offensively, and I think we have the personnel to do that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction. Raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
Mostly cloudy and still mild today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s. But it's becoming breezy, with winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour today, and they'll whip tomorrow up to 40 miles per hour. This as a cold front slams through the state, and it may spark up a few snow showers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years, they specialize in residential and commercial projects. from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is out, but I, Greg Bach, am your guest host for the day. And we have political editor Dan Schaefer recombobulating the news, and this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinair on air.
Welcome, everybody. It is Friday Eve. Thank goodness. Another week in the books. Another week closer to the end of Donald Trump's administration. That's the way I'm looking at it these days. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it is Thursday. That means I've got my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, two-time congressional candidate, Navy vet, and all-around nice guy. How you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing okay, but it's just been a week, right? I mean, it feels like, once again, another month, but it's only been a week.
Yes, there is definitely a time warp element. I don't think time has passed normally since COVID. No, I have no sense of any normal time frames at all. We got Calvin with us on the board, senior producer Jamie following along, keeping me in line. And each and every one of you, we're going to have some fun this afternoon. Got a stacked show, lots to talk about. We're also going to be joined for a brand new segment called Milwaukee as the Microcosm. What do I mean by that? Milwaukee as sort of an exemplar of things that actually may impact all of Wisconsin, but might start happening in Milwaukee, with a very special guest. His name is Jeremy Janae. He's the creator and a writer for Urban Milwaukee. He's going to join us at 3 o'clock. Really excited to have Jeremy join us. We're going to reinvigorate one of the discussions that I started earlier this week on the show about, how do we know if local government is working? So we're going to dig into that one. Yes.
Excellent.
We're going to take all of you with us. If you want to join us this show, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Tom, I have to start with, I was very sad this morning when I read that Gene Hackman and his wife had passed.
Yes. Yep. Just very sad. I'm actually, my wife and I are down here in Albuquerque, and
I was just going to say, aren't they? Yep. They were living in Santa Fe,
right?
They
live in Santa Fe, right? And most people don't know, but he has a restaurant. He actually has three restaurants. They're called Jinja, and we have one not very far away from where we are. And I have to admit, I've had a few Gene's Mai Tais since I've been here, which are fantastic. But yeah, we heard the news, and it was just overall sadness, because what a great actor, what a great person. Some of my favorite roles, some of my favorite movies to watch. You know, I think I was watching a clip this morning from Mississippi Burning, just the passion he brought to that role. One of my favorite roles that he ever did. But my favorite movie that he's ever done is Heist. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with Heist. Yeah. This is going to sound very cliched, But because I didn't discover the French Connection until much later in life, when I got to watch it, it was someone who was really into movies mentioned it to me. And so I sat down as an adult, I was like in my late 20s, and watched it and was just completely sucked into that. And that hat he wears that movie is so cool. I think that maybe what I do tonight, in like RIP Gene Hackman, two-time Oscar winner, sit down and watch, maybe I'll sub in Heist, maybe I'll do a twofer, Tom, watch the French Connection and Heist. One of the things that I thought was so fabulous and interesting about Gene Hackman was, one, he really truly loved acting. He was often quoted as saying he couldn't imagine doing anything else. It was literally the only thing he ever wanted to do. And he loved playing bad guys.
Yeah.
And bringing like the full character, the complexity of the bad guys. And the one that stands out to me, actually two really popped to the top of my mind, is Lex Luthor. He was so damn good.
He was.
As Lex Luthor in those Superman movies? Oh, my goodness. And then the other one is, and I'm going to forget the character's name, but that creepy partner from The Firm.
Oh, yes.
The guy that was doing the mob's dirty work. And he was so good in the movie.
I would say his best bad guy role is in Crimson Tide. Opposite Denzel Washington, right? He is
the two of them too.
Oh man, what a powerful movie, right? And that's the thing I was going to say about him, is he made you believe that he was the person, not the character, right? Every movie I saw him in, he was still Gene Hackman. Like, you can't really change that look.
No, Hackman looks like Gene Hackman,
right? But he would just be that character, and that's why I like Heist so much, because it's like he pals around with this team, and you just could just tell they've been together for 30 years when it was a movie. So fascinating.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm going to take a note, probably check out Heist. Yeah. And if not tonight, definitely over the week, I might do a little Gene Hackman film festival. Very few duds from that man.
Yes,
most
very
of his
few.
Work. Right. Yep. Just excellent. Francis Ford Coppola posting on X, just an incredible tribute. It's always interesting to me when one legend, sort of master of his craft, effectively eulogizes another, right? Like, these two men are giants in their craft. So RIP Gene Hackman, the film world losing a giant today for sure. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. And I also wanted to give a little postscript about the show that we had yesterday. I ended my show yesterday, Tom, talking about kindnesses. And kindnesses that folks have received from others, that we have given to one another. And I got just a lovely email from one of our listeners. Her name's Pamela. She lives, in Wisconsin Rapids, lifelong resident. She said her late husband, Carl, passed away in 2019. Mm. And her people in her community and folks knew about it. And she got a sympathy card just a few days before Christmas, and her husband had passed in November, with a crisp $50 bill in the card, and said, "I'm sorry for your loss. Please get something nice for yourself." Mm. No return address, no signature. Right. She had no idea who did this. She also said that coming May, someone placed a little basket of flowers for May Day, May 1st, on her doorknob. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you, Pam, for getting in touch, Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, and sharing your story of kindnesses that you have received with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Tom, any thoughts on that? I mean, we have to, a little kindness to one another these days seems to be in order.
I think it helps tremendously. And, you know, one of the things I realized over and over again is that people generally are funny and they're kind, and those are, I think those are two things that we don't talk enough about, that, you know, people are hilarious when you go online sometimes, just the way people take some politics and turn it into memes and things. I mean, it's just, it's hilarious stuff, and it's just all over the place. But the kindness part is just, it's the ability to have empathy and put yourself in someone else's shoes and just think about what they need at that point. And there's not enough of that. And, you know, I'm just glad that you had that as part of your show. But what a great piece of communication. that helps.
Yes. And it's so nice to receive those stories. Just hearing people talk about kindnesses is so nice. I do find myself gravitating on occasion to the old stand-up specials that I can find online. Yes. Just because I need some humorous relief. Speaking of which, we're gonna find this, Cal, between today and tomorrow. But there is an incredible bit by Lewis Black talking about drinking in Wisconsin. I hate to bring this, but it is so gosh darn funny. We're going to find it, Cal. We're going to share with everybody tomorrow for a little Friday chuckle here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I also want to plug for tomorrow. We've got our Ask Maggie segment. That's at 3 o'clock. If you've got any question at all for me, you email that to askmaggie@civicmedia.us or text it in on the text line. Call in. Cal will grab your questions. But easiest way is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You're going to find that segment every Friday at 3 p.m. Then, of course, that is followed immediately by another bit of relief from all the politics. At 3:30 every Friday, we've got Terry Barr sharing what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin.
Excellent.
Which is, again, it's a nice way to end the week, don't you think?
Right. But Maggie, how are you doing on the over-under time limit on your answers?
Oh, pretty miserably, I think you'll be unsurprised. I think I hit about every 1 out of 10, Tom.
There you go.
But, you know, how about a little something for the effort? I mean, I'm trying, right?
Trying to get them to the Mendoza line. That's excellent, right?
That's exactly right. Well, we do have to get around to the old politics, don't we now, Tom?
Yes, we do.
And we're going to start with a few quick things here. And let's take a listen to the new Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services addressing the measles outbreak yesterday in the most bizarre cabinet meeting I think a president has ever convened when asked to address, again, this measles outbreak.
At least the televised, right?
Yes, the televised. So much to unpack here. Here's RFK Jr. addressing the measles outbreak in Texas.
There are two people who have died. We're watching it, and there are about 20 people hospitalized, mainly for quarantine. We're watching it. We put out a post on it yesterday, and we're going to continue to follow it. Incidentally, there have been 4 measles outbreaks this year in this country. Last year, there were 16. So it's not unusual. We have measles outbreaks every year.
Couple of things, two, three things here. First, 2 people have not died.
Right.
One boy, young boy did. The second thing is the people that are not hospitalized for quarantine purposes.
No.
They're actually hospitalized to treat the measles. I'll address the how many outbreaks and what those actually are. But it is just stunning incompetence to me that the guy who's supposed to be like the head of our public health doesn't even have the basic facts correct. Tom, your reaction?
Well, one, not surprising.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, and this is, I think this is one of those big risks that the country's taking is we have our health in the hands of incompetency. And you're looking at bird flu, you're looking at measles, you're looking at a whole bunch of different things. I have no confidence that this administration will be able to help us if something actually happens.
I had a very sad aha moment on this very concept of competence, which you and I are going to dig into more this afternoon as well. Everybody, you're not going to want to miss 1 minute of it. I'm going to share my aha depressing moment with you when we come back. My name's Maggie Dawn. I got special guest host Tom Paulswitz with me today and each and every one of you. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in 1 moment. I'ma keep on running cause the winner
don't quit on themselves. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 3 elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Millburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Milburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Milburn residents as Milburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Milburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Milburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Distress sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can find me here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. I broadcast from 540 a.m. WAUK across southeastern Wisconsin. But of course, you can find me everywhere you are if you just download the Civic Media app for free, wherever you get your apps from. I got Tom Paulswitz with me today as my special guest co-host. We got Calvin on the board and my senior producer, Jamie, playing along with each and every one of you this afternoon. We left off just before the break, Tom, talking about RFK Jr.'s factually inaccurate comments about the measles outbreak that is occurring in Texas yesterday. And you were correctly observing that we've gone through the looking glass, mm-hmm. where we used to be, even if you wanted to say, oh, I disagree with the experts, and we'll get to why people are doing that more and more these days.
Right.
But that there was at least a reliable expert in the government that you could count on to try to give you the correct information. And Tom, I had this moment today. I had heard what RFK had said, and I wanted to fact check it. And I also wanted to fact check his statements about, oh, there's 16 measles outbreaks last year, and this is a regular occurrence, nothing to see here, dismissiveness of it. And I instinctively went to the Centers for Disease Control website and then stopped myself, because oh my gosh, I can't rely on the US CDC anymore, because it's getting put through the Trumpian propaganda lens.
Yes.
And they're scrubbing meaningful data. It was such a depressing moment. Have you had any of those? I mean, we sort of have these depressing aha moments every day, but that one, I genuinely wanted reliable information and thought, I can't trust anything on the CDC website.
Oh, and I would say the same thing for mostly all the other federal websites at this point. And here's the thing, and I keep coming back to this in my head. There are two audiences. There's the Trump audience, and then there's the rest of us. And what I'm trying to figure out is, what is the game plan for the rest of us? Because I know what the game plan for the Trump audience is, but can it just be this bad? Is it just going to be incompetence and corruption? Because at some point, Don't you tank the economy, and doesn't it just end up just causing all sorts of problems that you can't come back from as an elected official? I don't know. And so, yes, when you go to the CDC, you expect some expertise. There's no expertise there anymore. The people who are who have expertise, right, because they want to cut all these people from the government. But yep. The people that have expertise are also going to leave because their jobs are going to be so much harder or
intolerable.
Yes.
I just have to say this personal referential sort of context here. When I talk to people about lawyering and they ask me, how do you define your like opposition? Because I was a trial lawyer, right? Like, who do you like to litigate against? And I said, the smartest lawyer around. I hate litigating against dumb, crappy, lazy lawyers that don't know their work and don't know how to clearly do their job, because it becomes impossible to actually figure out what is it that we actually disagree about it. So we can present that in unequivocally clear terms, what your side's argument is and what my side's argument. And I say that all the time, working when you are confronted with someone who is bad at their job or thinks they know more than they do, it's so terribly depressing and disengaging
and difficult. But the key there is that you have a competent arbiter. And what is also happening is those guardrails are starting to just fall away and disappear, right? So there's no one person saying, well, this is just ridiculous. Some of the press is, I will say some of the press is, but not enough. But then the flip side of that is these are people who think they're right. Like, I'm sure RFK thought what he said was correct, and he couldn't be more incorrect.
Right.
And it's
you can't even get the number of people that have died correct. Like the one thing that you think you might want to jot a note down about. Let's jump into this discussion, Tom, about the death of expertise, right?
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things that I wanted to cover today. We're going to also get around to, folks, the DEI in the age of Trump and some things that you may not know that Martin Luther King Jr. said as we round out Black History Month. But let's get into this. Tom Nichols, he's a writer for The Atlantic, put out last week an excellent piece that I have been wanting to discuss with you in particular about the death of expertise in the government. He frames it up around this discussion about DOGE because it has nothing to do with government efficiency.
Right.
And if you don't believe me, I'm just going to point you to this fact. If they have, quote, the receipts, right? If there's so much savings going on, show me where. Like, actually show me. They just pull these numbers. Oh, it's $1.5 million for this and that. Show me actually the budgets where it was being spent. Show me the evidence. If there was such evidence, you don't think they'd be broadcasting that on a live stream all day long on X? And they actually tried to do a, quote, wall of receipts last week. DOGE posted online what they claimed was a wall of receipts celebrating how much it had saved by canceling federal contracts. But like within days when reporters started asking questions, all of the biggest claimed savings, like the top five, not some of the top five,
the top five
biggest, all of a sudden were scrubbed, didn't exist anymore. Like that wasn't actually a thing. So show me the receipts that are real. Right? How are we going to know? I mean, do we just take these people's words for it?
But that's why I keep coming back to these two audiences, right? Because that first audience, that Trump audience, is going to believe it. They're like, oh, great job, right? And I heard, you know, Mike Johnson said it last night. He said, you know, we're going to find the $880 billion that is in fraud and waste. There's not
$880. No.
There isn't, right? It doesn't exist. But as long as they keep saying it over and over again. But here's the really scary thing is sometimes they don't even know the level of their own incompetence, right?
Yes.
These are people that don't have enough. They either don't have enough real world experience, so they don't have enough I hate to say common sense, but they don't have enough to even understand what they don't understand.
It's the Peter principle, the Dunning-Kruger effect, metastasized and exponentially blowing up. We're going to come back with my special guest, co-host Tom Paulsiewicz. We're talking about the death of expertise in our government. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked and join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The clock is ticking for the U.S. Championship Cheese event coming up in Green Bay. But if you're a cheesemaker, how do you select a sample to send today that will be judged in a few weeks? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Good question, and one that's dealt with often by Eric Vorpel. He's Director of Procurement, Bulk Cheese, and Risk Management for Masters Gallery Foods. He's also been a judge for the U.S. Champion Cheese Contest for many years. He said, for cheesemakers, trying to select the right piece of cheese for entry is a tricky deal.
Cheese is made in batches, and you can't sample the piece of cheese that you're submitting, but you can sample the one that came out before or after it. So we have a process called grading, essentially the exact same process as judging, except there's not a score that's being assigned to it. But you're checking that cheese, you're checking the body, checking the flavor, you know, how does it look? So preventable errors is essentially making sure that you have a nice looking package, that the corners are sharp in a block, and that it's nice and smooth and uniform in a wheel, that there isn't mold under the wrapper, things like that.
Eric Vorpel, one of the technical judges that will be evaluating more than 2,414 entries at this year's U.S. Championship Cheese event, March 4th through the 6th in Green Bay. You can follow along virtually on their website, uschampioncheese.org. or their Facebook page.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
And it looks like some financial assistance is on the way to try to get answers for high-path avian influenza. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is investing up to $100 million in new and ongoing research into animal vaccinations and therapeutic tools to manage high-path avian influenza, not only in our bird population, but also in the nation's dairy herds. The International Dairy Foods Association and the National Milk Producers Federation applauds the efforts. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and still mild today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s. But it's becoming breezy, with winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour today, and they'll whip tomorrow up to 40 miles per hour. This as a cold front slams through the state, and it may spark up a few snow showers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Friday Eve. We're almost there. Another week in the books. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our fine program, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I got a fine co-host with me today. His name is Tom Paulsiewicz, two-time congressional candidate, Navy vet, small business owner, and all-around gem of a guy. We're talking about the death of expertise, the attacks on expertise. And it seemed to me, even before I read Tom Nichols' article in The Atlantic, Tom, that the Elon Musk doge of it all is really the fruition of sort of a Republican decades-old anti-expert movement in a lot of ways. The idea that populism or being of the people means that we have to reject and be suspicious of all experts, when in reality, don't you want experts running your government? I mean, like a democratic system of government requires experts and expertise to do the job right. And listen, everybody may have an opinion, but not all opinions are created equal.
No.
I'd prefer the expert opinion, please. Yes. And thank you very much.
Right. And here's the interesting thing, though. I think what's happened over the last 10 to 15 years is the world has gotten more complicated.
Yes.
And, you know, as Democrats have a very hard time making the complicated simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Republicans have ignored complicated and just gone right to simple.
Right.
Right. Because it's easier because you can ignore the underlying facts or the information or anything else that's happening because people need simple. Right. It's hard to absorb it all, you know, because one of the things I've done my entire career of coaching is how do you bring it down to actionable items that help people keep moving forward? Sometimes yes. It's very hard to do because the world is very complex and challenges are complex. But Republicans have convinced people that you don't need to know the underlying facts or information or have expertise to make things simple.
Right.
I'll just say something and therefore it's true. And if that's true, right. Because clearly, you know, the trillions of dollars we spend at the federal level, most of it is fraud and waste.
Of course it is. Yeah, well, just right. Shut
all
it all down.
You have to say that, right? And everybody goes, oh, that makes sense, right?
Because,
You know, my wife and I were laughing about common sense the other day, you know, because from now on, we're just going to say, well, that's just common sense, right? and it does, it's just not true. But I think the hard part is how do you help people understand it's more complex? There are more unintended consequences. There are more things happening than when somebody has a simple answer who doesn't have the expertise, they should be out. They should be not listened to, right? It shouldn't matter as much as somebody who has expertise, but the other thing is how do we help people understand and how do you break things down in a way to make it more simple to comprehend, to make it actionable?
Yes. Folks, that's Tom Paulsiewicz. He's my special guest co-host here on Wednesdays. There are two, and we're going to go to the phones, folks, if you want to get in on this great discussion, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. There are two things that I wanted to highlight, and that is that I think a lot of people conflate experts with elites.
Yes.
And the vast majority of experts that I know actually aren't elites, right? They're not the 100 millionaires or billionaires.
Right.
These are people that have spent all their money acquiring degrees in a particular, a very highly niched area. And they're simply not elites. They're people that are drawn to a particular area of study and practice because they have a passion about it.
And they usually aren't rich because they've spent all their money learning learning and not trying to profit from it.
So that's the first thing. Experts are not the elites. They're not actually the people that I think the vast majority of Trump voters resent and are angry about. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, not only is there that conflation of elitism and expertise, which I think is born of like the don't tell me what to do a little
bit. Right.
And then at the same time, assuming that people that have an incredible amount of wealth are experts in everything. Correct. Like Elon Musk is the very embodiment of that completely yes. irrational concept. Like, of course, he's not an expert in anything, of course, or everything.
Right.
Of course, Trump doesn't know the most of anyone about insert issue of the day. Like, right. So we're at this very weird time and we're proceeding through it at our collective peril. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
A couple of our texters wanted to get him in. Dave from New Berlin, Macon, Tom and I chuckle, pointing out that Marjorie Trailer Trash Greene said yesterday with no sense of irony
right.
that federal employees don't deserve their checks. Okay, MTG.
Yep.
Just quite
What's her bank account, by the way, so we can stop the direct deposit?
Right. So. You mean you, a federal yeah. employee?
Right.
It's yeah. too sophisticated. Too much nuance for that there. Expert. Yeah. Steve yeah. from Milwaukee saying we need to fight for freedom, educational freedom, financial yes. freedom, well-being, freedom from overly priced, too expensive health care, the freedom of the press. He goes on and on. I completely agree. Not rewarding criminals and grifters who are cheating people out of what they earned. 100%. Let's go to the phones. We got Jack from Merrimack on the line. Say hi to Tom. Jack, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Hello, Tom and Maggie. Anyone that read Project 2025 or excerpts from it or synopsis from it realized this is exactly what was promised.
Yes.
The Project 2025 states specifically, and it's not a direct quote, but basically they say results, all opinions, all regulations have to be in accordance with so-called conservative principles. What they actually mean is, of course, what the MAGAs want them to be. And in other words, what they're saying is, yeah, here's a result. Now, anybody that
work backwards,
that result, we're going to yes. recognize. And we're not going to recognize anybody else.
Jack, you're 100% right. It was not just we expect you to work backwards from the results that we want. They also are instituting what is, in fact, litmus tests for scientists and doctors and epidemiologists and anyone that works in an expert field that you won't get hired unless you will jimmy with the right. work, the scientific method to give us the results we want.
Yes.
Very scary. Thanks for the call, Jack from Merrimack. Cam from Appleton, say hi to Tom. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, Tom and Maggie. I have a slight challenge for you because I'm actually, it's a challenge because I don't even know what your response is going to be. It's not some sort of gotcha question. I want to see you work it out in real time because
I love these.
Yeah, me too.
To this conversation. So you mentioned how there's people that have status and stuff. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have the knowledge of what they claim. If I'm doing research and reading the actual physical reports, like the 90-page boring language reports from the experts that say that our voting machines are hackable and that they're very easy to break into, but then those that are up high in Dominion or on the news or our politicians who don't even know how to convert files to PDFs claim that our elections are secure, how do I convey that to other people to get them to drop this sense that we have the most secure elections in the country? Because it's simply not true when the experts that do those tests say they're not.
It's an interesting question, Cam. Tom, I'll let you go at this one, and then I've got a couple of thoughts.
Yeah, I'll start with Cam. First off, have you ever been a poll worker?
Let me put Cam. Have you ever been a poll worker, Cam?
No, I have not been a poll worker.
Okay, so first off, I would highly recommend that you go and do a shift as a poll worker because you will then see how this works in action because those machines are air-gapped. Those machines are not connected to the internet. So the starting point is when you understand how the actual votes are processed, it helps put things into more context because understanding the process helps you understand what the risks are. And the 90-page report, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but I don't think it's written by a poll worker. So, and if you've ever read the poll worker documentation, which is binders and binders of information, it would probably give you a lot more comfort about our elections.
What do you think about that, Cam?
I think it's slightly misguided. There are ways to hide scripts that will execute like small bit flipping, which is really easy when you're dealing with votes. And this is coming from a guy that works on computer systems and will hack them for a hobby. You can hide that inside of the RAM components themselves, and the RAM components, when swapped out, do not.
Let me just jump in here, and I'm gonna, because you're gonna lose half of us who don't know what you're talking about. But here's what I have to say: isn't part of the check that every time I've ever voted, I get a printed out ballot, and I can see where my votes were cast, and then I watch it get counted. And here's the other thing: I'll just say, there are variations in both systems and methods from state to state and jurisdiction to jurisdiction. I would never be so bold as to say there are no vulnerabilities. There's nothing to ever look at. What I mean to say is there are instances or vulnerabilities that could exist. I don't have the technical expertise to assess that. But what you have to zoom out and look at is whether or not is the system subject to such interference that outcomes could be changed. And that's what I'm highly suspicious of. I will offer this other point, which is the cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency, who are the people that are supposed to be looking at this. If we all have, any of us have concerns about election process security, Donald Trump has basically gutted the agency and fired half of its employees.
Yes.
Like, the MAGA's very concerned about election integrity, except not at all. Right? Like, it's, again, the smoke screen becomes clear.
Maggie, let me just tie this real quickly to what we were talking about with expertise, though. But the expertise on the ground for actually running elections and running polls is astounding. There is so much built-in understanding of the processes and the rules and what you need to pay attention to. And if something goes wrong, here's exactly what you do. That's the true expertise. And I don't think we talk about that enough, especially when we talk about elections.
And I'll also just mention this very briefly. Like, I was at the 2020 recount in Milwaukee. There were hand counts and machine counts of printed out ballots that you could verify and look at.
Right.
And there were tiny differentials, right? And then they get them recounted, and then it matches up now.
And then they would fix them.
Correct. Yes. In any case, I think Cam has sent me some of this information. I need to put on my thinking cap one weekend and wade into the technicalities.
Good luck, Maggie.
Yes. Wish me all the best. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you got just a little bit of time, my friend.
Yeah, this is the whole Project 2025 then is right out of Stalinism. It's Stalinist politics where science had to match what Joe Stalin said it did, and if it didn't, with his Soviet socialist thought, it was rejected. And these guys are rejecting democracy itself in line with their whatever it is. I mean, it's not even in conformity with American democracy at all. I mean, that I know enough from reading the Federalist Papers and the Madison's writings, and that these guys are just rejecting democracy itself, and that they want to tear down a democratic republic.
Yeah. It's a bottom line. That is what it is. Folks, we're going to take care of a little bit of business, just a wee little bit, very quick little pause. And we're going to come back with Tom Paulswitz, my special guest host today. I'm Maggie Don. You're listening to the Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Join us. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking with my special guest host today and each and every one of you about the death of expertise, or at least the attempt to kill expertise in government that is going on right now by the Trump administration and, of course, our billionaire overlord, Elon Musk. Here are some of the departments they have made basically willy-nilly cuts to. The Department of Veterans Affairs, the FAA, and the National Reconnaissance Office. I'm not sure if you've all heard about this one. Yeah, that one's responsible for American spy satellites. Just fire those people. We don't need to keep tabs on that.
We already have Starlink, don't we?
Yeah, we got Starlink. It's fine. The National Nuclear Safety Administration, remember that kerfuffle a couple weeks ago? Fire like 3/4. Well, oh, wait.
Oops.
They're in charge of our nation's nuclear weapons stockpile. We should probably bring those people back.
Right.
And here in Wisconsin, the Capital Times reporting this week that the layoffs, the DOGE layoffs here in the state of Wisconsin are impacting dairy research as well as our state's VA hospitals. They're sloughing off staff. So, hey, if you think our agriculture is important or you want to respect our veterans and get them the care that they need here in Wisconsin, yeah, DOGE is getting rid of those things. You can all rest assured. Also this one, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Yeah, they're basically doing away with the agency. It has saved consumers, and it not just saved, they have actually gone out and gotten $19.7 billion back, basically from fraudsters,
right?
On behalf of American consumers. Yeah, let's get rid of that.
Let's bring overdraft fees back, right? We need them. They're important because people need to learn fiscal responsibility, and the best way to learn it is taking away money you don't have in the first place, right?
Right. And I do have to point this out. Everybody has heard that a bunch of technologists, data scientists, computer engineers resigned from what used to be, like, I think it was like the data something agency.
Yeah, Digital Data Service, I think it was called.
Thank you. And they turned it into DOGE. They sent a letter to Trump's chief of staff. Here, I mean, this stuff is just creepy. Here's what was in the letter. On January 21st, we all completed 15-minute interviews with individuals wearing White House visitor badges who refused to identify themselves,
yeah.
Who asked us questions about political loyalty, attempted to pit colleagues against each other, and demonstrated limited technical knowledge or ability. This process created significant security risks. On February 14th, one-third of our USDS, the data service, thank you, Tom, colleagues were indiscriminately terminated by an anonymous email. These individuals were highly skilled civil servants who were working to modernize Social Security, veteran services, tax filing, healthcare, disaster relief, student aid, and other critical services. Oh, that's just, it'll work out fine.
It'll work out, yep.
And then they end with this statement, which I just think is absolutely incredible. We will not use our skills as technologists to compromise core government systems, jeopardize Americans' sensitive data, or dismantle critical public services. We will not lend our expertise to carry out or legitimize DOJ's actions. There was sensitive, they report in this letter again that on February 16th, that additional technical experts were fired, that there was key sensitive data that was mishandled, and that there was a breach as some of that data was posted to a public website that then had to be, and this was done by DOJ personnel. Oops. And that they were dismantling critical information systems. And they go on to state, this has nothing to do with modernizing federal technology and software to maximize government efficiency and productivity. The actions of the DOJ team are not compatible with the mission that we joined the United States Digital Service to carry out. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but once again, Maggie,
nothing to see here.
What audience is going to hear that message?
This amazing audience right here on the Civic yes. Media Radio Network.
You will hear it, but a whole bunch of people who need to hear it won't hear it.
We got Dick, and I think, we got a caller, Tom, if that's all right. Dick from Madison, go ahead and say hello to Tom.
Oh, so you guys aren't with finding out about 150-year-old people collecting Social Security. I'm shocked.
Right. You know, which was also data available back from like 2019, something right. like that. It's yeah. so crazy. Yeah. Go ahead, Dick. Sorry.
The question I got for you both is this. Jobs numbers will be coming out real soon. And with all these that's going on now, what experts are they going to find to say they've created some 250 or 300,000 new jobs the first month of his administration? Who's going to pull that off?
Yeah, I would say great question, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I think, is now compromised. So yes. even though the unemployment claims went up today, which was expected, but it hit its, I think, highest it's been in 6 months. But I don't have a lot of faith in the government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics information that'll be coming out over time. I think it'll take a while for that information to be corrupted. But that's the scary part, is when you can craft the data to support the narrative, then we've entered
in trouble. And that is why, Tom, please contact your state and local government officials. Ask them what they are doing to replace the data collection and analytics yes. that has been done in the past by the federal government. We can no longer rely on the feds to give us the cold, hard truth and actual reliable facts. We're going to take a brief break. We're going to come back with Jeremy Janae of Urban Milwaukee for our new segment called Milwaukee as Microcosm. We're going to talk about holding local government officials accountable and the hallmarks of truly terrible elected officials and public servants. Because there's yes. some hallmarks. There's some consistencies.
Yes.
Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports are next. And then Tom and I will be back.
This is not a test. It's not a drill.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Our old friend Peter Ray Fine of EPOM's World is in with a wacky week in review. And Mr. Zomers rolls out a board game of the week. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has been meeting at the White House with Britain's prime minister, his second meeting with the European leader to discuss Ukraine. Asked if he's confident Russian President Putin will keep his word on a deal to end the war in Ukraine.
I've known him for a long time now, and I think he will. I don't believe he's going to violate his word. I don't think he'll be back when we make a deal. I think the deal is going to hold.
There are a lot of questions surrounding the death of actor Gene Hackman and his wife at their home outside Santa Fe. CBS's Anna Schechter on what a detective found at the home.
He immediately thought about carbon monoxide poisoning as a possible cause of death, although subsequent testing found no evidence of carbon monoxide in the home.
Hackman's body was found in a mud room, his wife's body in a bathroom. One of their dogs was also dead. There were no signs of forced entry. On Wall Street, the Dow has been lower all day. It's off 123. This is CBS News.